A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode of Inside Fashion is brought to you in partnership with PayPal, the most trusted buy now, pay later brand, according to a recent survey, which gives merchants access to PayPal's 403 million users worldwide. Learn more at paypal.com/paylaterenterprise.
We make stuff, we use stuff, and we want it to go away, and we take new material and we repeat that process. But not built into that process is that circularity or the design intent for it to be recycled and reused in the first place. I haven't seen a scientific, more precise way of looking at what exactly we're consuming and how much resource in terms of material, energy, water, all this stuff that we're consuming in the process of making these products.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion. Welcome to the BOF podcast. It's Friday, September 10th. The modern fast-paced fashion industry feeds a culture of waste that results in millions of tons of textiles burnt or sent to landfill every year. Brands are beginning to acknowledge the problem, labeling products with buzzwords like circularity and creating bags made from recycled fishing nets or shoes crafted from plastic bottles. But the industry still needs to find scalable solutions to its overall waste problem. This week on the BOF podcast, our chief correspondent Lauren Sherman speaks with the chief executive of the Hong Kong Research Institute of Textiles and Apparel, Edwin Kay, about ways that fashion can tackle the waste challenge. Here's Edwin Kay, Inside Fashion.
So this is a very big topic. And I think what would be good to do is I want to talk about the specific work that you do. I think a lot of people in our audience are going to be fascinated and inspired by it. But first, can we talk about big picture? Waste means a lot of things in fashion. We think about excess inventory. We think of landfills filled with clothes, et cetera, et cetera. But it affects every single part of the process of making a garment. Can you talk a bit about why it's such a problem and or an issue and how it affects the entire fashion ecosystem?
Right, right. So you're right, it's a big topic. And the waste that we usually see or talk about, at least as consumers, is really the proverbial tip of the iceberg, right? That's the stuff that's left over. If you think about all the byproducts that are created in the process of making your garment, the agricultural byproducts when you grow whatever material you're growing, or the petroleum byproducts if you're using a synthetic material, and then the water, the dye stuff that you use, and then you discharge to color the material, and then the cutting waste and all the stuff that's left on the floor of the factory. And then all the supporting packaging material, the plastic bags and the boxes and the cartons that are put in for transportation purposes. And then you have the garment itself, which if you look at sort of the gross weight or the net weight of it, is actually a fraction of all that stuff that has happened already. And then there is the useful life of the product, right? We used to hang on to clothes a lot longer. Now, things have a much shorter useful life. We don't use it as often and we dispose of it a lot faster. So then we come to the post-consumer portion of the materials that now have to be dealt with. You're very right about talking about just that word waste. I mean, is it waste? Because all this stuff is they're all useful material and they all have value. And we call it waste just because we're discarding so many things.
There's this stat that goes around, and I'm sure it'll be brought up a million times today, about how it's wrong that fashion is the second most polluting industry or something like that, that there's no, you know, there's not a real, is there any way to measure how much waste the industry actually is making, or as you said, excess? Because I think you're right that we, as humans, we want to kind of clean everything up and clear it and act like it didn't exist, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have any value. But is there any way to measure the impact of all this excess material that we have at, you know, the beginning, middle, and end of these processes?
Well, that's all part of the problem too. There really has, I haven't seen a scientific, more precise way of looking at what exactly we are consuming and how much resource in terms of material, energy, water, all this that we're consuming in the process of making these products. And so that's why you have these great disagreements or these wildly varying numbers about what exactly is going on, because there isn't anything going on. There isn't any precise measurement. And I think one of the reasons for that is that our rate of consumption of apparel, garments, and the materials for it has been going up so rapidly in the last decade or two that once upon a time, it really was not that big of an issue. It just wasn't something that it is too trivial almost for us to measure, because we just hang on to stuff. But now we have this, we've changed our attitude, our relationship with our apparel. It went from a durable to a disposable or a consumable. And then all this waste began to appear.
I'd love to kind of dig deep into the topic of recycled materials, because that's something that you have been studying and working on and making progress on for many years now. And when a lot of consumers think about, yes, we see recycled cotton occasionally at a big box retailer now, and they have lots of marketing around it, it's very exciting, or, you know, organic cotton, if it's organic and recycled, even better. But, you know, when I think of something like a recycled material, I'm thinking of something that maybe doesn't have a great hand feel, that is textured and has a lot of blemishes or what have you. Can you talk a bit about the work that you've been doing to specifically improve recycled material, the kind of machines developed and the kind of work you've done with bigger businesses on using these types of materials, and why it's so important?
So there's, when we talk about recycled materials, there's every stage of that manufacturing process. There are opportunities to pick up materials that we're not using today or discarding today and use them. So there is industrial waste and there is post-consumer waste, if you will. So there are lots of materials there. So that's one challenge, is kind of defining where it's coming from and what it is exactly. Two, I think when we talk about recycling today, we really are trying to deal with a problem that somebody else created some time ago. And we're sort of trying to retrofit a solution into a problem that appeared. And the reason why I think about it that way is first of all, fundamentally today, if you look at our fashion apparel supply chain, it is still linear in shape. You know, we make stuff, we use stuff, and we want it to go away, and we take new material and we repeat that process. But not built into that process is that circularity or that the design intent for it to be recycled and reused in the first place. So we have that challenge, which is fundamentally we have this one way direction of our supply chain. And then secondly, in terms of how apparel is built today, a lot of apparel is built without thinking about how am I going to reuse this? How am I going to dismantle it so that I can make something else out of it? And so what happens is that we make it very difficult for things to be recycled because it's blended, because it is put together in a way that with other mixed materials or assembled in a way that it is very difficult to break apart. So those create challenges for us. I go back to this idea of durables and consumables. Once upon a time, we don't have to think about that because we tend to hang on to our clothes for a really, really long time. And so it doesn't lend itself to be a big problem. Why recycling has become more and more of an opportunity for us is because we aren't thinking of our apparel as durable. We are throwing things away. And because we have these ever more and more rapid cycles of fashion, and these cycles of fashions are shorter than the useful life of the material that our apparel are made from. And so it creates this opportunity for us to think about recycling.
So what are you doing specifically? Can you talk a bit about the work that you've done with the H&M Group? Because I think that's a really unique project. And these machines that have been developed, if a business like Monkey can use them, does that mean that every scaled business could use them?
We work specifically with the H&M Foundation. The H&M Foundation came to us about 6 years ago, and we have had a research partnership with them. They are by no means the only brand that we have partnership and research partnerships with. We also work with other brands, but they certainly have been the most interested in looking at recycling. So for the last 5 years, our first series of projects with them is around recycling and specifically recycling methodology. And what we want to do is to look at it a lot more holistically. We are an applied research center, but when we look at something like a challenge of recycling, you can't look at it out of context. If you solve the science problem and you don't make the business case for it, or you don't create the logistics for it, then you have sort of like a half-baked solution that makes you feel good or works well in the lab, but doesn't have a real-world application. So we have been looking at, first of all, just what are the different methods of recycling, and is there a business case that we can make with one of them? So we look at mechanical recycling, which you mentioned earlier. You know, hey, look, you end up paying more money for something that is not as comfortable, and you have to compromise on some of the aesthetics. Then we looked at biological systems, and we're still on that. We're using fermentation and different enzymes to separate, break down, and transform materials into either separating them or transforming them into other useful materials that we can reuse for garment applications. So that work is ongoing. And then we looked at chemical recycling, which in recent years have become quite a domain that there's a lot of interest. A lot of people see that chemical recycling as with the highest opportunity for developing some useful, efficient recycling methods. And we went down that road for about 3 years, but we kept coming up with the problem of creating new problems when we solve an old problem, which is we create a chemical waste stream that we now have to deal with. And so we say, well, that probably shouldn't be, that's not a very elegant solution. Is there something that works better? And so we started taking chemistry out of our chemical recycling efforts. And so we ended up with this breakthrough that we announced about 18, 24 months ago, called the hydrothermal system, which is using heat and pressure to separate blended material and recover from it useful material, which are without any deterioration to the look, the hand feel, or the characteristic of the material. And at the same time, new useful raw materials for other types of new yarns and fibers that we can reuse again. So I can go on. There's a lot of interesting byproducts that came out of that, but that's sort of one group of experiments that we're very excited about.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And, you know, when you talk about the business case, how much more expensive is it for a company to use the kind of methods that you're using versus just buying new fabric? And if it is more expensive, how do you kind of explain to them the reason for doing it?
That's always been the challenge, right? We are using recycled materials out of the goodness of our heart, if you will, not because it's more comfortable or cheaper. And so we want to solve that. We don't want people to use recycled material out of the goodness of their heart. So hence why we're excited about this. So first of all, we are almost at par in terms of the cost for comparable material, virgin to recycle on the polyester side. So the monkey collection is the first one out of this. And we have scaled it from a small pre-industrial scale system, about 150 kilos a day, which is what we're operating right now, to a 1.5 ton to 2 ton a day system, an industrial scale system, which is as soon as we can get visas in the era of the pandemic that we're in, we would be installing in a manufacturing facility, and it will go live and start producing live materials. And if we don't label it, as a consumer, if you pick up the garment, you will not know the difference. On the polyester side, whatever materials that go in to be treated in the hydrothermal system comes out in exactly the same state. There's no mechanical, there's no deterioration in performance, there's no difference in hand feel. And we have gotten the cost of that down to incremental difference. And this was, and so we started this industrial scale project in December of 2019. And with the pandemic delays, we're on the cusp of turning this thing on. And we think this is a tremendous scale up opportunity. But then we have been creating this series of other useful outputs with this that we are also very excited. We have on the natural material, on the cellulosic side material, we have developed a new type of viscose material. We have been able to use the cellulosic material to develop a PFC-free water repellent treatment for the PFC-free DWR treatment is the geek term. And then also we announced last November a successful first experiment to use the cellulosic material, which we functionalized into a new polymer as a way to grow cotton without irrigation. So that is being scaled up, and we are looking at irrigation-free cotton. We're also adding more functionality to these recycled cellulosic particles so that it has nutrients in it, so we don't have to add fertilizer. And we're looking at sort of like a beyond organic type of cotton, which grows faster, yields more per acre, and has longer fibers. So all sort of we're very excited, and we think that there's a lot of opportunities. And all of this is to make the business case for this, so that we recycle because it's not only it's a do well do good type of a business proposition.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk. I'm so interested if the industry just skips over organic cotton and goes straight to your solution, but that's probably another conversation. Before we open to questions, I do want to ask you about the consumer's behavior. You mentioned that the monkey project, there's not going to be it's not going to be labeled or what have you with recycled materials. I think this is something that, you know, it's very difficult if you do a survey and you ask consumers, yes, I would like my products to be, I want to buy less and save more or what have you, and I want to wear my clothes forever, I want to invest, they'll all say that they want to do that. The way that people act and the way their intentions are often very different. But I'm curious to know from you, you know, especially over the last year and a half, how has consumer behavior changed, and how do you see that, like talking about the business imperative of these sorts of changes in the operating model, how has the consumer's behavior changed, do you think, permanently, and what does that have to do with the work that you're doing and the work to make the industry more circular?
Right. Let me speak about that in more general terms, about the consumer, how the consumer has changed, especially through the pandemic. One of the things that we observe is that consumers are now much more engaged. I think you're right. There is still an inconsistency with what consumers say and what they do, how they spend, how they consume. And I don't really, the onus is not so much on the consumer. I don't think we as an industry have done a very good job at giving point of sale information that is helpful to consumers to make consumption decisions about, hey, if you buy product A versus product B, here is the carbon footprint, here's what you're doing, and here's how you can make a difference. We don't have that. We don't have the nutrition label, if you will, of the products that we sell. And so it's on us to be better at working on that communication. Consumers through the pandemic have a changed relationship with their garments. Garments are now more functional than their aesthetic. Consumers want to make a difference with how they consume. You can see it by the logos that they want on their chest to speak about how that aligns with their value system. And I think the other interesting change is that consumers that we have seen or that we have talked to want to be a lot more active. They want to be part of the solution. They don't want to just be a victim or a bystander of what is going around. So the connection between personal health and the health of the planet is something that is very very powerfully brought to light with the pandemic. You know, what happens to you and what happens to your community, it's kind of sort of an extension of the same thing. So we think this is really good. This would really there is that will. So how can we support that by giving the tools and by giving the options to the consumer as well too. And I'll also add that today, just by saying that we have recycled content, we're kind of green as a brand, you don't stick out from the crowd. Everybody has something like that. You now the demand from the consumer, expectation for consumers are also higher. You have to be not only not one of the bad guys, you have to be one of the good guys, right? So what are you doing for climate change? What are you doing to be carbon negative? What are you doing so that you can be much more regenerative or supporting biodiversity? I think all those are now front and center questions for the industry.
And how much does discounting culture and you know, in the last year and a half, a lot of very, very large apparel retailers have really dialed back on discounting. Many at the high end, but also at the middle, have increased their prices. In the middle, a lot of them by 25%, what have you. They're talking a lot about less promotion. In the US, that's a huge, huge issue. But in Europe, and I think in Asia as well, increasingly, how does the discounting culture and the attempt to pull away from that factor into this circularity? Why do businesses need to do that in order to get away from discounting?
Yeah. And that also, by the way, going back to your original first question, that also is waste, right? Stuff that you make that nobody wants to buy. And I think that the challenge in that the pandemic also put a spotlight on is that we are in a fast-changing dynamic marketplace globally. And so it is getting harder and harder to predict consumer demand using the existing models. And working in the calendars that we have been working to, consumers are much more. They really want things to be relevant and useful, and they really want these products to track with their lifestyle changes. So in the pandemic, it's quite obviously that comfort over aesthetics and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunity to work on more intelligent ways to do analytics and to do predictives with consumers. And so that's another a great opportunity not to make a mistake in the first place.
Yeah. So we have time for one question and quite a few people in the audience, including Sarah from Chicago and some other people have mentioned this. Policy, government framework, how important is it in terms of regulating this stuff that different governments that produce a lot of product countries that consume a lot of product create some sort of policy to help move these initiatives through and make change?
I think it's a combination of government leadership, political leadership, and then creating the incentives, the tax and the pricing incentives. But and that's where you start. But I think then the industry will have to take a lot of initiative then to drive that into the way we do business. I think fundamentally, one way to look at the issue with waste is that we are mispricing the materials that we use. We're just not holding users accountable to the total cost of using and disposing of this material. So we need to do a lot of that. But very soon thereafter, I think business purpose and business values will have to follow through, that we have to be an industry for good and a business that is supportive of a much more healthy marketplace.
Edwin, thank you so much. I could talk to you for another 2 hours.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the BOF podcast for our look inside fashion and how it connects to currents in the wider world. If you're not yet a BOF professional member, join today with our 30-day risk-free trial and benefit from exclusive access to agenda-setting analysis you won't find anywhere else. The BOF podcast is edited and produced by Emma Clark, Kate Vartan, and Kevin Bobby Blanco in the BOF studio team.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/BOF, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BOF to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/BOF.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.